different people preaching, whether through a CD or a tape or even online services, and God's worked in my heart in a great and mighty way. And I know many of you have told me how much God's been working in your heart lately through the preaching and teaching of the Word, and I'm excited about what God can do in our hearts this week. So let's begin our revival and our Mother's Day service with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for being so patient, and thank you for being so kind. And Lord, I am just rejoicing today about how you work in our hearts and lives, how you speak to us. God, I'm thankful for mothers, thankful for the mother that you gave me and the other ladies in my life. And I know many people can say all different types of things about the good relationships that they have. And I know today is a hard day for some ladies. Maybe they're missing their mom or missing their grandmother, or maybe because of other circumstances, it's not the easiest day. But Lord, I pray they look to you. Lord, there is so much goodness in you. And Lord, we can always rejoice in the Lord. And Lord, that today would be a special day for them. And Lord, as they're honored, that they would feel thankful for the responsibility and the opportunities that you gave them. Lord, I pray that you help our services today. Use Brother McBride in a special way to speak to our hearts. We're coming and we're seeking, we're asking. Lord, we've been praying. Lord, we want the power of God to just outpour on our lives and our hearts. Speak to our hearts about things that we could do better. Speak to our hearts and convict us about things we need to change. Lord, if there's someone who doesn't know you, Lord, through the preaching and teaching of your word, I pray to come to a saving knowledge of you. God, I am once again thankful. Just thankful for all the opportunities you give us. Lord, bless the services. In Jesus' name, amen. So we try to do different things to honor or encourage your mothers, and that's what we're going to do, a few of those this morning. First thing we're going to do for our morning service is we're going to have some different people helping us with the congregational song. Andrew Pease is going to be the one that's going to be leading us this morning, and also Kristen Colvin will be the one playing the piano. So I know that encourages many of our hearts and encourages many of our ladies. I know both these young people would give testimony about how God has encouraged them and helped them with the people of our church. And I think it's a wonderful way to honor our mothers today by having some of our young people participate in the service. Andrew, if you'll come.
Let's sing Count Your Many Blessings. If you have a hymn book, page 54, Count Your Many Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, see what God hath won. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Verse 4, the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Amen, amen. So I know sometimes in the past when they had Count Your Blessings, what they would do is they would have a testimony time and say, a song leader in the past said, count them up, and you start counting your blessings. So I want you to take a second, especially if you're in the same room as your mom, or maybe if you're in the same room as some of the kids and things like that, or maybe you just want to write down some of the blessings in your life that comes with the thoughts of your mom or the family life that you have. So just take a moment or two to think, wow, I'm thankful for this, or I'm thankful for that. So if you're able to pause, pause it for a second and just kind of go around the room and just talk about something you're thankful for, and just give some different blessings that God has given you. Now, here's a couple of things that we want to remind you about when it comes to announcements. It's having church this morning, obviously, and then also tonight, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Services are regularly scheduled for 7 o'clock, obviously, but they will be posted a little bit earlier than that. We're going to be looking at should be posted on our YouTube channel, FBC ECNC, and also it should be posted on our Facebook channel, too. So make sure you keep up with the services. We're going to come here. We're going to start every single night here, and we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have a congregational song, have a couple of announcements, and then we're going to be heading right over to Brother McBride. Brother McBride's family is going to be doing the special music for the week. I know many of you really enjoy him and enjoy his family as they sing. So let's remember that. Other things, the kids program should be up and loaded by either tonight or tomorrow morning. Also, there's going to be another prayer segment for our prayer challenge. It should be uploaded by either tonight or tomorrow afternoon. And remember that we are collecting a love offering for the McBride family. So if the Lord lays it upon your heart to give something, I would encourage you to do that by sending it in through mail, dropping it off, or you can also do it online. Just let us know specifically what you want, what part of your offering you want to go to the McBride family. I did want to say thank you for the blessings. We had a very good month of April, and that's because of your faithfulness. I know we weren't able to have services here like normal, but you guys met the challenge and still were faithful in your giving, and it's just a wonderful blessing and how God has worked in our hearts and people still faithfully giving even during these times. I do have a verse I'd like to share just real quick. I know I'm not the preacher for today, but there is something. It's a verse of the week. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want you to learn that verse this week, but I also want you to try to do some studying about what those words contrite means and humble means. That contriteness talks about, in the first part of the verse, talks about even like a broken, crushed type heart. And then that's what that type of spirit, a broken spirit, at the end of the verse. And the purpose is, man, God works with the people that are humble, whose spirits understand that they're in need of God, in desperate need of God. So look at that verse, read that verse, give some consideration to that verse, and let God work in your heart. Do your best to memorize that verse this week, and just think, man, I want to dwell with God. I not only do I want to walk with him, I want to be revived. That's what these revival services are, to encourage us, to make anew, to refresh us, to revive us. Also, since it's Mother's Day, another special thing we're going to do, we're going to have some more young people minister to us, and it's the Ackley family. They're going to come and they're going to sing for us. They're a blessing and encouragement, but it's nice seeing young people serve the Lord, and thankful for the Ackley family. And happy Mother's Day. Right after this special music, we're going to send you right over to the McBride's message and special music for the day.
Happy Mother's Day from the Ackley family. I've got a heart that's full of faith-filled helplessness. There are mountains ahead that I can't move. Still a song.
Thank you. Sunday morning service. We're broadcasting here from the Bean Blossom Baptist Church, and sorry that we can't be out there with you in Elizabeth City, but we're thinking about you, and we look forward to being able to be with you next time. I want us to go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to read a little bit in the 29th chapter, and also just a little bit in the 30th chapter, and this is Mother's Day. I want to preach to you a little bit about a mother in the Bible by the name of Leah. And we'll start in Genesis 29, beginning in verse 16. We'll have to read a little scripture here. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. They seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I bore him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now, I want us to think about Leah for a little while, and I want us to think about some lessons that we might learn from this woman, Leah. And we'll pray a moment, and then we'll look at two or three things here in this passage. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We pray you'll help us now in the preaching of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll be glorified and that your people will be helped. Help us today. Thank you for mothers. Thank you, Lord, for the fine women in the church. And Lord, we thank you for them, and we appreciate the things they do. And I pray you'll help some lady today, some dear lady, saint of God. I pray you'd help her today and encourage her in the things of God. And may we be an encouragement to our wives and to our mothers today, and to our daughters also. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we come to this story, it's an unusual story here in the Bible. A man that has two wives, and he got two wives through a subterfuge and a deceit from his father-in-law. And it's kind of really a sordid story when you read about it. But God has a way in the Bible of just telling us about people the way they are. He doesn't sugarcoat anything or sweeten anything. And this is a difficult situation here in this passage. It's very difficult for Leah. It's difficult because she feels as though she is unloved in this passage. And the Bible does not say that Jacob did not love her, but the Bible said that he loved also Rachel more than Leah. And apparently, he loved Rachel so much more than Leah that in the next verse, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he loved Rachel so much more than Leah that whatever love he had for Leah, when you put it next to the love he had for Rachel, seemed like hatred in comparison. So here's a woman going through a difficult time. She is in the company of the unloved. And probably all of us at some time in our life feel as though we're not loved as we ought to be, or maybe we would even put it, we're not loved the way we deserve to be. But there is an inequality here between these two ladies and in this relationship, this unusual relationship they're in. One writer that I was reading after put it this way. He said, the manifest inequalities of life are among the greatest perplexities of the inquiring mind and the greatest testings to faith in the divine providence. This problem is exemplified in the story of Leah and Rachel, two sisters enjoying the self-same heredity and environment, yet one plain and unattractive, while the other was beautiful and well-favored. And, you know, when we think about this, a lot of time in our life, we look at what somebody else has and think they have it better than we have. And there's envy that comes into our lives. And so we need to learn some things from Leah. I think that Leah learned in this passage about the inequalities of life and how to deal with it when you feel perhaps as though you are unloved. Now, I want you to look with me at three things in this passage. And the first two won't take very long. The third one I'll park for a few minutes. But I want you to notice the cruelty of life. The cruelty of life in this passage. And I would say this to you. I want to remind you that life is not fair. Had a little nephew. A lot of time when they'd get in be playing and things did not go exactly the way he wanted them to go, he would say, not fair. It's not fair. And he'd want to go home and quit the game, you know. And a lot of us are like that. We look at life and we want to say, Lord, it's not fair that I should go through this. Not fair that they have this and I don't have that. It's not fair the way I'm being treated. And it certainly, at first glance and in natural understanding, does not look fair in this passage. We have Rachel who is more attractive, and we have Jacob that loves Rachel more than Leah, even though Leah desperately wants Jacob's affection and tries to win Jacob's affection. Sometimes things in life are not very fair. That is the cruelty of life, but that's the way life is. Maybe that's why Paul said in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, in this life only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Maybe that's one reason he said that, because even when we're saved and we know the Lord and we're walking by faith and we're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, still life is not always fair. Still it doesn't turn out the way we'd hoped it would, or even the way that we want it to sometimes. That's the way life is. And we ought to just, I think we ought to accept that fact and get used to that fact that life is cruel. But there's something else, not only the cruelty of life, but there is in this passage the contradictions of life. Things are, not only is life not fair, but in life things are not always as they seem. Now I want you to think about this in this passage. You know, the Bible tells us that Rachel was beautiful and well favored. But the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And Rachel may have been beautiful on the outside, but I think if you study her life, you'll find she was not very beautiful on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, a woman that fears God, that is a beautiful woman. That is a woman that is attractive in spiritual things, and that's much more important, the inner person than the outer person. And I want us to think about this concerning these two ladies. One of them is attractive and one of them is plain. But wait a minute now. Notice in the Bible, Rachel is beautiful, but Rachel is barren. Rachel has the beauty, she has the favor, but she doesn't have any children. Rachel has Jacob's love, but she doesn't have Jacob long. You know why? Because she dies in childbearing. And Rachel obtained her desire to have children. You remember she envied her sister. Now you think about that. Here is Leah, and no doubt Leah's looking at Rachel and saying, I wish I had what Rachel had. But you know what's going on while she's doing that? Rachel's looking at Leah saying, I wish I had what Leah had. Rachel wishes she had, Leah wishes she had Jacob's love. But Rachel wishes she had Jacob's children. And you know, it's often that way in our lives. We'll be looking at somebody saying, I wish I had what they had. And unbeknownst to us, they're looking at us saying, I wish I had what they have. I remember when I was pastoring, had a young lady come to me, and a young mother, and she said, preacher, I'm so tired of being at home, and I'm taking care of the kids all the time, and I never get to go anywhere. And then she made this statement. She said, I wish I could be like so-and-so in the church. And she named a lady that had a job, and she said, I wish I could be like her and work outside the house and not be at home all the time. And she went on about it. Well, what she didn't know was, a few weeks later, the lady that she'd mentioned came to see me, and we were talking, and she said, you know, I work all the time. I wish I could be at home with my children. I wish I could spend more time with my kids. So we've got one looking at the other saying, I wish I had what she had. The other one's looking back at that one saying, I wish I had what she had. That's the way it is in life, the contradictions of life. Those who envy the richly endowed seldom realize how little true and abiding satisfaction they really enjoy. For the heart ever craves still more than it at present possesses until it finds its true joy in God. And that's the way it is in our lives. We look at somebody or something, say, boy, I wish I had what they had, wish I had it like them. But the truth of the matter is, if you had it like them, you wouldn't be happy. The only way you can be happy is to trust the Lord. The only way you can be happy is to accept the will of God and find your joy in Him. You know what the Bible said in the New Testament about Christ? That He is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the truth of the matter is, things in this life and relationships in this life, though they have their place and though there can be satisfaction in them, the only real joy in this life is walking with Jesus and knowing Him. And so the contradictions of life, I would say to you, dear lady, you might be looking around saying, I wish I had it like so-and-so. But so-and-so is probably looking at you and wishing they had it like you. There is the cruelty of life in this passage. There is the contradiction of life in this passage. But then I want you to notice this, and we'll spend a moment or two here. I want you to think about the consolation of life in this passage. The consolation. You say, well, preacher, how can I be consoled when I don't have what I think I need? How can I be consoled if I'm the unloved? Or how can I be consoled if I'm in Leah's situation? Or how can I be consoled if I'm in Rachel's situation? How can I do that? Well, I want to remind you of this. The Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Now, I want you to notice something about Leah. I want you to notice how desperately she wants the love of Jacob. In verse number 31, when the Lord gives her, says he opened her womb. And in verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben. Now, watch this. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. See what she's after? And I'm not getting after her for wanting to be loved by her husband. I'm just telling you, that's the only thing she had on her mind. Look in verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. Again, she's thinking about her relationship with Jacob. Verse 34, she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I've borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Once again, what is she thinking about? She has her mind set on one thing, and she'll only be happy if she gets it. But you notice the next verse, verse 35, she almost found the secret of real joy. Look what it said. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now, watch it, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. Did you notice she didn't say anything about Jacob not loving her? She didn't say anything about not being joined with him and not feeling like they were close. All she said was, I'm going to praise the Lord right now. Right now in the situation I'm in. Here is the answer to having peace in life and having joy in life. It's learning to praise the Lord in your present situation. That is the consolation of life. It is what I might call an eternal viewpoint. And Leah almost gets it. Now she's going to go back later in the passage, and she's going to go back to the same thing. She almost gets it. She almost sees it. Let's think about what goes on in this passage a moment, this consolation. I want you to notice that God is aware of Leah. He is aware of her. He sees and hears everything that is going on. How do you know, preacher? Look in verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, she said, the Bible said he saw her. And in verse 32, the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. And in verse 33, because the Lord hath heard. And so God sees and he hears. You say, preacher, I don't know. I don't have it very good. I don't like the situation that I'm in. I want to remind you, God knows all about it. God sees it. God cares for you. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. He's watching. God is aware. You say, preacher, nobody cares about me. Oh, yes, Jesus cares about you, and he's aware of the situation. And not only is he aware of the situation, God's awareness of her, but I want you to notice God's affection for her. Look what it said in verse number 30 of this passage in verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. Now watch what's going on here. The Lord looks and he sees that Leah does not have Jacob's affection. He makes particular, the Holy Ghost in this verse makes particular emphasis, puts particular emphasis and mention upon the fact that Leah was hated, that she's unloved. And so the Lord said, here's what I'm going to do. Leah may not have the love of Jacob, but she does have my love. She may not be loved like Jacob the way she wants to be loved, but I love her, and I'm going to do something for her. I'm going to open her womb. I'm going to give her children. He loves her. He loves Leah. And can I say to you, he loves you today? You say, preacher, I don't know if anybody loves you. Oh, Jesus loves you. Sure he does. The Lord loves you. God loves you like he loved Leah. He loves all of us. There isn't one of us he didn't love. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. And you say, well, that may be a little abstract. Well, then Paul said in Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the Lord loved Leah here. And he opened up her womb. He wanted to bless her. He wanted to give her a consolation. So we have God's awareness of Leah and the Lord's affection for Leah. And we have the Lord's acceptance of Leah. Leah uses this name for the Lord. Watch what it said in verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital E, the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. You know what? It looks like Leah understands the covenant relationship that she has with God. Now, Rachel had her own gods. You remember? Later on, when they leave, if we read on in our Bible, when they leave Laban and they're going back, now Jacob's coming back to the house, back to his father. What does Rachel do? She steals her father's gods, the idols. Rachel was an idolater. But here we have Leah. She recognizes and calls the Lord by his covenant name. And God accepts that. He accepts that praise. That is an attitude of praise in Leah. And God accepts it. Rachel didn't pray, but Leah did. And then there is God's activity for Leah. Watch it in verse 33. The Bible said she conceived again and bare a son. And said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. Watch it. He hath therefore given me this son also. She said, this son came from God. That's the same thing she said about Reuben earlier. And same thing she said, she says here in this passage about Simeon. And then she'll say, so here's what goes on. Leah recognizes that God is actively working on her behalf. You say, well, preacher, I'm in a bad situation. Well, I want to remind you, God's working for you. God, he may be working behind the scenes. You may not be able to see it. You know what God did? He did for her what she could not do for herself. When he saw that she was hated, he went to work for her. He's always working on our behalf. Let me say to you, dear lady, God loves you. He's aware of you. He cares about you. And he's working on your behalf. So you say, well, what should I do? You ought to pray. You ought to pray. And you ought to thank him. And you ought to trust him. And you ought to do what Leah did in verse 35. Now will I praise the Lord. You ought to spend some time praising him. Then let me say this about not only that we have his awareness and his affection and his acceptance and his activity, but I want you to notice his abundance for Leah. I want you to notice a couple of things now. If you go over to Genesis 49 with me for just a moment, I want you to notice what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 49. Jacob's getting ready to die. And Rachel has died, and they buried her, by the way, in Ephrata, when they were on their way back to his father's house. And Jacob's getting ready to die. And in Genesis 49, he brings his boys and gathers them around. In verse 29, he said this, he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite, in the cave that is the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephraim the Hittite for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. Now watch this. And there I buried Leah. You know what I think? You know what I think this verse tells us? I think that Jacob, a long life's way, had a change of heart about Leah. Here, he's not going to bury Rachel next to him. He's going to have them lay him to rest next to Leah. And I think that along the way, I think this is an indication, an implication, if you will, that Jacob had a change of heart about Leah. And Leah has a consolation here in that change of heart of Jacob, but she also has a consolation in the fact that the Lord Jesus came from the lineage of Leah. One of her sons, Judah. The tribe of Judah is where Jesus came from. And so God blessed her in an eternal way. Can I say this to you? Eternal blessings are more important than temporal blessings. Eternity is more important than today. And so we find the consolation of Leah. Not only that, but I want you to notice something in the book of Ruth, if you turn over there with me just a moment. And in the book of Ruth, that wonderful book about grace and this story of this young woman, Ruth, when Boaz is going to marry Ruth in Ruth chapter 4, he's going to purchase her and marry her, the Bible says that he gathers everybody into the at the gate, and he tells them he's going to marry Ruth in verse number 10 of chapter 4. Moreover, the Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Now watch this. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. You know what? They put Rachel and Leah together here. They put them on the same plane. You and I might look and say, well, Rachel's better off than Leah. Well, I don't know. Rachel's beautiful on the outside. She'll be very beautiful on the inside. Leah seemed to be tender-eyed. That's what the Bible said on the outside, which I think means that she had a weakness, some kind of weakness about her. And we might look at her and say, well, you know, she's not as well off as Rachel. But I'm going to tell you, when it was all said and done, the people of Israel put them on the same level. And yet God blessed Leah in ways he never blessed Rachel. I'll tell you what we need tonight, or today, this morning. We need the blessings of God in our life. That's what we need. But let me say two more things to you before I'm done. The first one is this. I want to remind you of the compassion of God. When we look at life and say, you know what, life is not fair, here's the question I want to ask myself. Do I want God to be fair with me? If I understand fair, it means I get what I deserve. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I don't want what I deserve. God loved Leah. Despite all of her guilt, he had compassion on her. Think now of your life, think of your guilt, think of your wickedness, and think if you really want God to be fair. No, we don't want to be fair. We want to be compassionate and merciful. And that's what he does with Leah. And that's the kind of God that he is. A God of compassion and a God of mercy. And God, not only the compassion of God towards sinners, but the commitment of God to his promise in the midst of inequality. From Judah, the son of Leah, and Jacob comes the Messiah. She became a partaker with him in the fulfillment of divine purposes and promises. Let me say this to you. Most important thing in life is to make a difference for God, to be involved in the plan of God. And so here's what I want to do. I want to not get wrapped up in the inequalities. I want to not get wrapped up in whether or not life is fair. But what I want to do is praise him continually and walk in his will, no matter what situation I find myself, that I might be a part of the divine plan of God. As I said a few moments ago, it's eternity that matters. Now I would ask you this before I go. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? Can I say this to you, Mama? You'll never be happy till you know Jesus. I'll say this to you, Daddy. You'll never be happy till you know Jesus. I'll say this to you, young people. You'll never be happy until you know Jesus. But Jesus loves sinners. God loves them. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. He died to take our sin and carried it to Calvary. He was the sin bearer. And life may not seem fair and it may not seem equal. But I tell you what Jesus is. Jesus is compassionate, merciful, and loving, and he'll save your soul. He'll give you a brand new life. Why not trust him today? Why not repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus? Let God save you today and get yourself in the will of God and make a difference for the cause of Christ. And God will give you peace in your heart no matter what your situation is. Now, Father, you help somebody today, and we'll be glad for it. We'll thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.